Yes, yes, you all are looking wonderful. I'm glad you're here this morning to be in the house of the Lord. You know, it's always good to come together, to worship together. It's weird not coming to church for me. I was born in the church, so to speak. That's what I say. My parents always went to church every Sunday, pretty much. I don't remember too many Sundays we didn't. I mean, it was pretty much every Sunday. And it didn't matter where we were or what we were doing. There might be a vacation or two where we missed one week or something, but we're pretty much in the house of the Lord, you know. And it feels weird not being there. How many's ever done something, you know, and it's been just out of the norm and it's out of character, and it's kind of like, it just feels different. It just feels weird. And so that's one of the things that feels weird to me. And, you know, when I think about God and I think about his goodness, it's just awesome. And when I begin to question God, that feels weird, you know. Now, it used to be a while back, years ago, I had a lot of I would question about God and certain things, and I had questions, and it was okay. But now, I can't question God. I just can't question anything, because at this point, I've gotten to the point where I don't need to do that anymore. And maybe you're here this morning and you have some questions about God. I say to you, that's okay. When we get to a place of the church where we can't, you know, question so we can find out and we need to know. If we get to that place where, you know, you can't do that. We need to pack it up and go home. Amen. Because I want to find out the truth in as many areas as I possibly can. Now, how many like truth? I like truth. I don't want to believe a lie. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he said. So in other words, he said he was the way, which is his grace. And Jesus said, you know, and we've been trying to answer this question, who is God? Who is God? And Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And so we can look at Jesus and what he said, and we can say, okay, that's God, because Jesus is God, and we serve one God. Represented in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, yes, in the Trinity, and we talked about that in the beginning of the series. It's hard to explain. It's hard to wrap your mind around. I don't get it totally, but the more that I press into Jesus, the more understanding I get. The more I press into him and I press into his word, the more understanding I get. The more of the way, his grace, and grace is this, it is the unearned, unmerited favor of God, or by grace we are redeemed. In other words, we have the forgiveness of sins, but it's also his empowerment. It's his empowerment for me to live. It's the ability to do what he's called me to do here on this earth. That's what grace is. So I can say Jesus is grace. I can say God is love. And Jesus, he said, it's okay to reach out to others. Jesus was the one who befriended sinners. Jesus, I can say Jesus is your friend. These are the things about God. And we say God is your friend because Jesus, that was the example that he gave. And a lot of people didn't like that. Jesus eating with sinners, you know, they didn't like that at all, actually. And they looked down upon that, and they questioned his disciples, and his disciples were following him, and they were doing the same thing, and everybody's eating with sinners that hung around Jesus. They were eating with sinners, and everybody was like, oh, wait a minute. But that's what Jesus did. So we say that God is love. He is the way, that grace, the truth, and the life. It's the only way. And because he is the truth, I want to know as much as I can. I want to know as much as I can. And so my questions now that I have is just, oh, I didn't know about that. Let me find out. But I don't question God. My questions are, oh, let me find this out. That's how it kind of goes now. But again, if you're in that place where, you know, maybe you have some questions or maybe you even question God about certain things, that's okay. I've been in that spot. I've been in that place. And if we look to Jesus and we press into him, he says he's the way, the truth, and the life. So you're going to come into that truth. You're going to come into that. You're going to get the understanding. You're going to get all of those things. And that's when that life, when he says Jesus is life, that's when it really begins. When you've gotten his grace and you've received his grace and you've come into the truth and you've gotten some understanding and now you're living life in a way that you didn't before, I can't imagine living it any other way. It would be weird if I lived it some other way. It'd be different, just like it'd be weird for me to miss on a Sunday. It would just be weird. It would be weird if I lived my life different than serving our Heavenly Father. It would be weird because I'm so in love with God and I live to serve him. Before we continue, let's pray this morning one more time. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, and that you are love and you love us and you love all of our families and those around us. So Father, we thank you this morning that we can just put aside all thoughts of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can focus on you here and during this time and just come into even more understanding this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that all hindrances are broken right now in the name of Jesus and your anointing, and your presence will flow in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've said these things about God, that he is love, he's your friend, he's grace, and all these different things. And this morning I want to talk to you about God being your rest. God is rest. God is rest. Now we're going to talk about grace, but it'll be in the context of God resting in God, because that's what the grace can do. The grace of God can bring you into a place, and I talked about that life, you know, that life that you can live. Well, this is part of it. This is what I would call the good life. How many like the good life? Like a good life? I want a good life. Different ones that I've talked to, they may be going through something, but despite them going through something, they're still living the good life. There was one person I talked to a long time ago, and I said, "How you doing?" He goes, "Living the good life," and that's what he would say. I was like, "Wow, that's cool. That's a good confession." And he would just say that. And he said that for a while. I guess it was just, I don't know if it was just a fad or something going on, but I think as he was speaking it, he was really doing it. And he was living the good life, serving the Lord. I want to start in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and it says, "Come to me," Jesus was speaking, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, this is if you've been in, you know, church for a while, or you've heard messages, been a Christian, been saved for a while, you've probably heard these verses. I know I have. I've heard it many times. You know, come, hey, rest. God, come to God. Rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. You know, this whole thing. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It all of that, I got to believe that. I got to trust in that. And that's awesome. One of the things, though, about this scripture is where it fits in Matthew. The context of the book of Matthew. The context of what was going on at the time in the people listening to Christ. And it brings a different meaning, you know, and I heard it before. Cast your care upon the Lord, you know, and his yoke is easy, his burden light. I heard all of that before. But then when you really dig in and you look at the context of what was going on, it brings a whole new meaning. It brings a different level of grace. It brings you into a different place of peace. And when Jesus was talking, and here's what I mean. When Jesus spoke these words, he's talking to a crowd of Jewish people who followed the law. Now, how many in here, now I need everybody, sometimes I get people and I ask questions, people raise their hands, but I need everybody to participate just this once. How many have heard of the law and kind of know what it is? We're talking about when we say the law. You know, okay, that's most of us. We're talking about the law of Moses, right? And people, this system of way, it was really a way of living. The system was defined by the law of Moses. That was the basis or the start of what people called the law back then. People related to God based on the law. They formed their opinions of God from what they knew of the law. Everything in their lives, how they did business, raised their families, lived day to day, everything was based on the law. Now see, when we think in terms of the law, it's a little different. We think of government-imposed restrictions, That's what we think about when we say the law. But to the Jews, the law meant more than speeding and getting caught, you know, this some rule. The laws were meant to help Israel maintain a high moral standard. Now, get that. This is what helped you be who you are and be accepted in God's sight, following the law. Now, see, for us, like I said, I mean, the law, that this, the law of the land, law of, you got to get that out of your head, because that's not what this law is. This is, I got to follow this law so I can be acceptable to God, so that I can be righteous or holy in his sight. And many believe that the law, you know, is the Ten Commandments, but that was just the beginning. There were hundreds of laws after that that came after the Ten Commandments. You know, detailed set of restrictions and stipulation. And it was the Pharisees in that day, these were the religious rulers, you know, the people in charge, the religious people, you know, priests and, you know, that kind of thing, and the Pharisees, they took it upon themselves to interpret the law and to apply it to everybody's life. Kind of like we have politicians and different ones, and we have judges, and they have to try to interpret the law for everybody. And you know how we see sometimes we go, I didn't think that's what the law meant. How could he do that and interpret it that way? And then, you know, and they have all these arguments. And you have all these political arguments on what the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and all these different amendments, what it all includes and what it doesn't include. Well, now you got the Pharisees here, and they're breaking down what it all is meaning and how you're, what all the law is meaning and how you're supposed to apply it in your life. And so they would tell the people, you got to follow it this way and that way and this way. And if you don't, oh my goodness, you know. And so it was really restrictive. And there was a lot to it. And the Jews, and it's not, it wasn't just the law of Moses. The Jewish leaders over the, you know, the centuries after, you know, Moses went up with those tablets, they even added to that. And so you, and they had their own ways and they had their own laws that they added to it. And so you've got so many laws and Jewish laws, and these people are listening to Jesus. And, you know, they've been under all of these laws, and so they see God as a legislator, a judge, a law enforcer, someone who's obsessed with keeping everybody in line. That's how they saw God. And so here's these people listening to Jesus, and here he says he'll give them rest, and he doesn't have a heavy yoke. You can follow me. And see, this is why people, a lot of people freaked out about Jesus, because he ate with sinners. And he did things, and he didn't follow all the laws in the way that the Pharisees all laid out and how they interpreted and how they were doing it, and he was different. And so people were freaking out. Like, wait a minute. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do this. And here's Jesus. He's saying, follow me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I don't have a heavy yoke. My burden's light. Now, a yoke was something that was put around an animal, and most of us know this, but for those that don't or may not, a yoke was put around the animal, and it usually was something tied around two animals, and they were yoked together, and they would go through and pull a plow, and they would plow the land, okay? And so that's what a yoke was, and that's hard work. So everybody knew what a yoke was and how hard it is, you know, to pull that. That's why they had to get good, strong animals, because a human really can't get out there and put that on, except for maybe one of those big, I don't know, those people who's got muscles coming out their ears. I don't know. Maybe they could do it and put it on there. But so this yoke, it's hard. And so Jesus is saying, it's easy. It's easy for me. It's easy for you. I can make it easy for you. In other words, Jesus was saying, my requirements are easy. That's how I interpret it. So when Jesus came on the scene and he's sitting here and he's saying these words and he came on into these people's lives, these Jewish people's lives, and he is there and God's here, because that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God. These people are stressed out. They're worn out trying to please God. How many's ever been stressed or worn out? Lord knows I've been. So these people are stressed and worn out. Now, I'm not stressed and worn out right now. My life is good. I don't have all that. Now, maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you just put in a 70-hour work week, and then you had this, and your car broke down, and you had the, I mean, there could be all these things you had to deal with, and maybe you didn't even get a chance to eat meals and sleep and all those things, and maybe you're stressed and worn out. Well, this is going to be really good for you. Now, for me, I get a good sleep. I get good rest most nights. I actually get to lay in the bed, and if, you know, if something happens to where I need a little more sleep, I can get a little more. I'm not stressed. The things that are going on in my life are good. My kids make me pull my hair out some a little, but no, I'm kidding. They don't. Everything's fine. But for these people that are listening to Jesus, they're busy trying to do good in order to be good. So they couldn't see how good life really was. They couldn't see it. When you're stressed and you're worn out, you can't see how good life is. You can't see it. That's why that man who I was telling you earlier, you know, he said, I'm living the good life. And it's like, and I think what he also he was doing when he would say that, yeah, he was letting you know about him, but he was also saying to you, you need to start living the good life. You need to stop being so worn out and stressed. You need to stop just a minute and smell the roses. You need to slow down just a minute. They couldn't enjoy life, these people listening to Jesus, because they never could quite measure up. They always needed a little more holiness and a few more good deeds before God could accept them. It, you know, in many ways, our culture is kind of the same, Christians and non-Christians alike. We want to be good. We'll get self-help DVDs. Look, well, not DVDs anymore. We're looking on YouTube. Let me see what YouTube does, you know. We'll Google how to break bad habits and this and that. We make New Year's resolutions. How do those go? Yeah, you see the muscles on me? Yeah, right. Every year I'm like, baby, I'm going to work out. I'm going to look like Arnold. You know, and it's like it never happens. This thing right here, no, I better stop. My son tells me he's going to have a six-pack, you know, and he says, just wait, you know, when we let him work out. So what is Jesus saying in these verses? Who is God? God is the one who says, it's not hard being in my family. It's not hard being in this family. It's easy. It's good. It's the good life because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, these people listening, something had to click in some of these people's minds when they heard this, if they had heard Jesus and been there all along, especially the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to look at a few of those verses. Because remember I told you how this passage, it kind of, it's in the middle of Matthew here, and we've got to look at where it fits in the whole. And in the start, when Jesus is preaching and he's beginning to talk, and as we're, you know, taking on this journey, as you're reading through the Gospel of Matthew, if you read chapter 5, you know, first, which you do, you wouldn't think necessarily that God's yoke is so easy. You wouldn't think that necessarily. So let's look at it, and because it almost sounds like when you start looking at it and you go through it, well, wait a minute here, Jesus. I thought you said all of this and this. So let's look at that. Now you're just saying everything's easy and your burden's light. Which one is it? Well, let's look at it. Matthew 5, verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law. Now remember, the law, not the way we think. This way of life, the way that, you know, the law of Moses, what's been established, or the prophets, I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious rulers, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you catch this? Now, kingdom of heaven is synonymous kingdom of God. It's the same, okay? All right? It's not the third heaven where God is sitting on his throne and Christ is sitting at the right hand of the throne. It's not what he's talking about. Okay? He's talking about his kingdom, the rule and reign of God on your heart and my heart. All right? Just to clarify that. But get this, here's these people who've been oppressed. They've been kind of stressed out, worn out, because they're trying to measure up. They're trying to be as holy as they can be so they can be acceptable in God's sight. And now here comes this man, Jesus, and he's saying, you've got to be even more righteous than the Pharisees. And they're probably really freaking out because the Pharisees are the most holy. The religious, the scribes and the Pharisees, oh, they've got it all down. And the Pharisees, they've memorized Genesis and this, you know, the first five books of the Bible. Oh my gosh. And most of them had, you know. They know the law backwards and forwards. They know it all. And they preach it and teach it. And now I've got to be more righteous than them? What's going on now? It's like, Jesus, why? So imagine listening, and you've got to see this, because the Jewish people, they're oppressed by legalism because they didn't really understand God's ways. When Jesus said this, he was changing what it meant to be righteous. This is what he was talking about. He was telling them that what they were doing was not enough. It's not enough. See, these verses 17 through 20, it's really a setup for the rest of the verses. It's a setup. You know how you've probably heard this, and maybe you've seen this before. This is the part where Jesus starts going into the thing. You have heard this, this, and this, but I say unto you this and this and this. And he does it over and over and over again. And so he's kind of blowing up what they really think and what they really thought. You've heard this, but basically, I'm saying this isn't enough. It's not strict enough. God wants more. That's what Jesus was saying. Now, we've got to understand as we read through this, and we're going to look at some of these examples in this chapter, he's not being picky like the Pharisees, and he's not saying, oh, you got to do this like this and like that. No. What he has seen is he's seen all these people run around to the different leaders and say, what do you require? What do you require? What do you require? Because they want to do the least possible. They want to do just enough to get by. So they look at the law and say, okay, I'm going to do it just to the letter of the law, no more than that, because that's too much work. That's too much. So see, he's seen their hypocrisy. He's kind of calling them out here, the Jewish people as a whole. He's seen them justify their injustice and sanctify their sin with shallow, religious-sounding arguments. Now he's going to call them out. Let's start with the first one, verse 21. You've heard that it was said those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. What? That's probably what they were thinking. Wait a minute. I know I'm not supposed to murder. Now I can't even think about it. Darn. I thought I was getting away with it. Now, you know, now you can't even be angry. What? That's probably what they were thinking. The rules were hard. Now they're even harder. Verse 27, you've heard that it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What? You mean looking, no touching doesn't work anymore? Why? That's what the guys are sitting there thinking now. And look, can we just be real? And that's what the guys were thinking. Like, wait a minute. You mean I can't even look? And Jesus said, no. Because see, the law said, just don't commit adultery. The law didn't say you couldn't look. So see, Jesus is bringing them down and saying, you missed it. You missed what it was saying. Let's look at another one, verse 43. You have heard that it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus, now you have gone too far. There's no way. I can't do it. I can't do it. How many, when you get cussed in the face, you just say, bless you? She's like, oh, no. Oh, no. See, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. They're like, wait a minute. I thought it was good. I can love my neighbor. It's good. But my enemy, I don't understand. Jesus, I'm starting to get a headache right now. I don't get it. And then he finishes it off with this in verse 48. This is great. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now they passed out. Because you have to realize how they've been living. The oppression and all this, it's like, and the stress and being worn out with all of this. I'm trying to measure up, God. I'm trying to do what's right. Have you ever just looked at God? God, I'm trying to do what's right. What's wrong? What's going on? Jesus, I don't get it. Look, two important takeaways here. Jesus was exposing hypocrisy, the ones that wanted to do just enough to get by, and their lack of understanding of the law. Yes, many were trying to follow the law, but in doing so, they missed the spirit of the law. They missed what Jesus was, what God was really trying to say to them through Moses and through the law of Moses. They missed the spirit of it. They just wanted to go by, you know, what, you know, it. There's been times where I've told my kids, you know, hey, I want you to do this and this. And they do that and that. But I'm like, didn't you see this over here? Well, yeah, but you said just do this. Oh, come on. You know? And that's what it was like with the just enough to get by. All the parents are grinning because you've been there. Lord knows, I've been there. They skirted around the law as much as they could and had a do enough to get by attitude. The second thing is that Jesus was showing the people how the law of Moses and all the laws that they tacked on, all that stuff, it was not enough. The biggest problem that Jesus had with the Jews is they thought they were righteous. Amen. That was the biggest problem he had. Oh, they think they're doing right. Oh, really? You are? That was the biggest problem Jesus had. So you get to Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus starts calling out hypocrites. He tells them how to pray and how not to pray. Don't pray like them. He says, you can't serve two masters. He's going on, and he says, not to worry. Take no thought for the morrow. And you have these verses here. And then he gets to the kicker in 33, and this explains all of it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? And his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You're trying to be righteous on your own. That's not enough. You'll never be able to do it on your own. You have to seek my righteousness. Look, I've heard Christians look at that list on chapter 5 in church. I'm guilty. I preached it before years ago in youth group to teenagers. Said, look, the law said this, but Jesus came and he even made it harder and he took it to another level. And look, church, it's true that Jesus did was showing them, look, it's bigger than the law. And yes, you can't look now. And yes, you can't, you know, all of these things. But the thing is that we left out when we taught it and we were teaching it that way. The thing we left out is that, but you've got the Holy Spirit of God. You've got Jesus Christ. You've got the robe of righteousness. And you know what? That makes it all easy. It makes it easier. So the answers to the question is, you know, is God's yoke really easy? Is he the God of rest? The answers to that is emphatic, yes. Despite what he said and what people interpret and they say about the Sermon on the Mount and all of this and that, no, it's true that it is easy. The burden is light. So this come to me, the people who were listening, and they were listening now, what he was saying in chapter 11, come to me and I will give you rest. This had to be music to their ears. And they started to piece it together a little, I think. They started to get it, that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. For the Israel, the law was never meant to be about all the laws. It was about Jesus. It pointed to Jesus. That's what the law was about. It was to point to the need for a Messiah. Look at what Jesus said to the Pharisees in John. John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. The scriptures point to me. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. That's why he came. You know, that's why he came. All the law, the prophecies, the teachings, all the things the Israelites had studied day in, day out, they all pointed to Jesus, and then when Jesus showed up, they missed it. God wanted people to do their best, of course, but ultimately he wanted them to know you need a Savior. You need a Messiah. It's me. It's the same today, church. God doesn't want us to just try harder, work harder, get busier. He appreciates all the efforts. I'm sure he does. But when we make life about doing good and being better, when we make it about holiness, it's like that's as an end to of itself. Like, oh, it's all about just being holy, being righteous, being good. We miss the point. Being a Christian's not about being good. It's about a relationship. It's about grace. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the point of life. And that's where true rest comes in. There's people who look at, Christians who look at that, you know, being perfect verse, be perfect, and they totally miss it. They say, see, with Jesus, the requirements got even higher and under the law, you know, than even under the law. You better get busy, get your holy on. No, we're under grace. What does that mean? Okay, I'm not under the law, but what does that mean? I'm under grace. We said this last week, and I want to put this up on the screen because rules address behavior, but they don't deal with the heart. They don't adjust attitudes. Grace, on the other hand, is eternal, internal. It works on the heart level. Look at this. Where rules attempt to force us to do the opposite of what we want, grace actually changes what we want. Get this in your spirit. I wanted to put it up again because it was so important. It was the most important thing I said last week. It's the most important thing today because this is how grace makes it easier, not harder. We're changed on the inside. Now it's no longer effort. It's no longer effort. Why? Because my heart's in it. If I go to do work or go do a job and my heart's not in it, that's every time I mow. And I like my edger machine makes it easier, but I still don't like to run it. You know, raking the leaves, I know how to do it, and I got a rake, I got a blower, I know how to blow, but that don't mean I like to do it. My heart's not really in it. I do it just because I have to do it. Now, I do it and I suck it up and put a smile on my face as best I can. Look, I'm just being honest. I just don't like yard work. I don't have a green thumb, never will, okay? It's just not going to happen. Don't try to turn me into a gardener because I'm not going to be that way. And if you're a gardener, oh my goodness, I have so much respect for you. You are awesome. And share your fruit with me. But, you know, that's good. For me, I can't do that. My heart is not in it. And if I tried to be a gardener, if I tried to go out there and plant stuff, guess what? The plants are going to die. That's all there is to it. Because I'm going to forget. I'm not going to go out there. I'm not going to water it on time. I'm not going to do this or do that. Years ago, I used to house sit for someone, and they had cats, and he wanted me to water the plants. And I said, are you sure? Look, I watered the plants, but I didn't water it long enough, I don't think. And there was this one I kept forgetting or something like that, and it turned brown. He was not happy. It's just not me. That's not my thing. But when your heart's in it, church, it's easy. When your heart's in it, you can do it. It's so simple. That's how grace makes it easier. It's not harder. We're changed on the inside. It's not effort. Grace is how we don't lust, steal, murder in our hearts. We don't even think it anymore. Grace is how we love our enemies. It makes it easier. The whole time Jesus was preaching in chapter 5, I'm sure people were freaking out, wondering how they were going to do it. Now they hear this in 11, and they go, really? All along, Jesus was bringing them along a path that was going to make it easier than they could even comprehend. You know, church, there's been times like on a Saturday, I'm doing pretty good, and then maybe I lose it. I start, you know, I get impatient, or maybe I yelled, or I did this or that, or got angry or whatever, and it's like, that is not the frame of mind I want to be in. That's not, you know, the frame of mind, especially, you know, on a Saturday. And I feel bad, and I feel guilty, and I know I messed up, and I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, how can I come in and preach the next day? Oh, my goodness. Again, being real. And I can say in that sense of guilt, and I can beat myself up. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I can sit there and I can beat myself up and say, I am not worthy. I don't feel worthy, so I'm not. And I'll beat myself up because I messed up. Or I can press into God. I can press into Him at that moment. And I say, God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you now to empower me to come in the next day on a Sunday morning and preach your word. Why? Because you guys don't deserve me to come up here and think I'm not worthy. You don't deserve that. When you mess up, the people around you, they need you. They don't need you to go off for 2, 3, 4 days, 5 days, I'm not worthy, and doing penance. Penance is not in the scripture. It's not godly. It's ungodly. Well, amen. When you mess up, don't self-inflict punishment. It's not doing you any good, and it's not doing somebody else. Look, I'm not saying that you don't acknowledge it. I'm not saying that at all. Don't do the opposite, which is, you know, greasy grace. Deny the sin and go, oh, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. Don't do that. We need to follow the instructions of Paul that he gave Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We've got to be strong, empowered by grace. That way we can enter into the rest that God wants for us. So we can have that easy burden. It's not caring less about holiness. It's caring more about Jesus and the mission that he's given you. If you're beating yourself up, you can't help somebody else. You can't do what he's called you to do if you're sitting there beating yourself up. That's why you've got to unload your own burdens. That's why you've got to press into God, get on top of it, so you can say, Lord, I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. I am righteous. I am holy. You say that by that. Look at this. We're almost done. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says to cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Who's heard that verse before? Cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. I heard this all my life. To enter into rest, you've got to unload your burdens. And we say that a lot. We say, just leave it at the feet of Jesus, and we say that. Charles Spurgeon, he used a really good illustration on burdens. It, you know, if you're going to help somebody else move, and you're going to move their furniture, you can't go with a big old heavy, you know. Have you ever seen one of those hiking backpacks? Where they load everything and stuff's hanging off of it and it's clang, clang, clang every time they walk, you know, and the little pet mat is like rolled up there at the top and you're like, okay, Ranger Bill. And it, you know, you're going and you got this big old pack on and the thing weighs like 30, 40 pounds at least, and you've got this thing on and you're going to leave it on to go move your friend and help move the stuff. Now, is that going to work? No. You have to unload your burden first before you can help somebody else with their burden and lift their burden. You've got to unload yours before you can help somebody else with their burden to help them carry theirs. In the same way, just when he says, cast your care upon me, for he cares for you, it's take up the Lord's burden. So you cast yours off, you take up his. His burden's light. In Psalms 55:22, it says, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Not you sustain you. God sustain you. But in order for God to sustain you, you've got to cast all your care upon him. Now, casting takes a little bit of effort. You can't be lazy about casting and just say, it'll be fine, it'll all work out. God will take care of it. Have you ever done that? I have. Oh, God will take care of it and just move on like it's no big deal. You need to meet with God. When you have a burden that you're worried about, when you've got something stressed out in your life, whatever you're stressing out, you got something on your shoulders, you need to meet with God. Casting's an energetic word. He didn't say lay all your care upon him. He said cast. Because you've got to press in. the ideas throw it away from you. The pressures and the burdens of life are so heavy and difficult sometimes. It takes effort. It takes two hands to lift the table at my house. It's heavy. It's solid wood. If you're getting on one side and I'm getting on the other, you better use two hands. I'm not even going to bother lifting it with you if you've only got one. Use two hands to cast, the hand of prayer and the hand of faith. One more time, the hand of prayer and the hand of faith. If you've got that burden that's so hard to bear, it's so real heavy, cast it on God, meet with him, get before him and say, God, I put this right now at your feet and I'm believing you for strength right now to overcome in Jesus' name. You just got to pray like that. You've got to say it out loud. You've got to do it. God wants to give his children rest. So we can't perform like Israel used to do so I can be good. I don't have to. I just have to love him. He'll change my wants and desires. I got to stop worrying and stressing about life. Instead, I've got to do what it says in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can we all stand? Notice in this verse, it says, come to me. Didn't say come to the law. Come to a psychiatrist. Now look, if you've gone to a psychiatrist, that's okay. That's fine. If you need that in addition, I'm not anti-counseling. But don't stay there forever. Amen. Come to Christ. Go to somebody who's going to help you get to Christ. Go to somebody who's going to take those principles that they know and make sure that's lining up with the Word of God. Amen. Pounding your pillow 7 times to get rid of anger is not going to solve the problem, church. And look, I am not throwing off on the counseling. I've been in counseling. Okay? I'm not throwing off on it. I'm saying it's just, without God, it's going to come back. That's why some of these counselors say, well, you're going to be dealing with this now for the rest of your life. No, I ain't. They want to keep you there, keep you as a victim. And it's okay, like I said, to go, but make sure that they have the mentality is, you're going to get better in this many weeks or this many sessions, whatever. We're going to go over this stuff and you're going to be all fine. Right. Amen. That's what it is. I don't come unto the law. I come unto Christ. I don't go to counseling for 3, 4, 5 years. No. I come to Jesus. He's the healer. He can heal that. I got to be good. And then I'll get rest. No. I'm going to worry about stuff. No. Come to Jesus. You can't worry about stuff. You've got to lay it at him. Charles Spurgeon said this. I'm going to leave you with this. Come. He was talking about this verse. He said, come. He drives none away. He calls them to himself. To Jesus himself we must come by a personal trust. Not to doctrine, ordinance, nor ministry are we to come first, but to the personal Savior. Isn't that the truth? This morning, I want us to come to the Lord. And how many could just say, you know what? You fit in one of two categories. You fit in the one category where I've been trying to be good, to be acceptable to God, try to measure up. Or, you know, I've got this heavy burden. I'm worried about this and that in my life, and I'm just worried about so-and-so. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about this. How many could say, you know, you got one of the two burdens. You've got a burden. That's all there is. You've got something. There should be some more hands going up in here. My hand's up, and it's staying up. Because, yeah, life is good, but I got a burden right now. It hit me like a ton of bricks on song 1 today. And I've got to cast that care onto God. So this morning, right now, can we go to God and cast that care to him? So let's lift our hands and do that now. Father, right now, Lord, we're reaching out to you. We're coming to you, as you said in your word, to come and to lay our burdens down, to cast our care upon you. So right now, Lord, we're meeting you here this morning. using our faith, saying, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the way. Lord, I can't do it anymore, so I give it over to you right now. And we say that you are the God of rest. And Lord, I thank you for your rest. Lord, you're even going to give me a peaceful night's sleep tonight because I'm not even going to be worrying about it. I can feel that right now for some of you. You're giving it to God right now and you're going to be able to sleep tonight. Hallelujah. Where you can't see any way, God knows the way. Where you don't know how it's going to get done or how it's going to get paid for or how that person's going to change or how you're going to get through this situation, God knows. And so right now, Lord, we meet with you and we press into you right now. And Lord, we thank you that you are the God of light burdens. Your burden is light. Your burden's light. So we give you our heavy burden and we take on your light burden and we say, use us, Lord. Use us to reach others for you. Use us to reach out, Lord, and spread your love to others and show others how to get rid of their burdens, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah in this place this morning. Amen.